Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus chapter 25, if you would. Exodus 25. I still got the hoop and cough or whatever it is, so we'll see how far we get. Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews in a minute, but Exodus 25. I want to walk you through the tabernacle tonight, maybe to give you an idea of where we need to be. I know before I start this sermon that Jesus fulfilled every part of this tabernacle, so you don't have to meet me after church at the door and let me know that. I know that. But the teaching that he taught us through this tabernacle worship was an important thing. Is letting man know that you just can't do whatever you want to do and then come talk to God. There had to be some things that you did to get yourself to that point. And the priests were the ones that could do that. Now the priests had to go through several steps and stages to get themselves ready. And then once they started the process, there was always cleansing going on along the way. And to ever be able to be that priest that would finally walk into that Holy of Holies had to be an awesome thing. How many of you have ever had a real close experience with God? I'm not talking about a voodoo kind of thing. I'm talking about God was like real to you. It was close. It was a time in your life, and it was like a God thing. How many are there all the time? How many would like to be? I think that's me. I've had that. I've had that a few times in my life, and I'm embarrassed to say that I'm not always there, but I find out that most people are just like me. They find themselves not there. And James said in James 4:8, what? Anybody know that verse? Exactly. But I want you to see it all. James chapter 4 and verse 8. I know I told you Exodus, and we will get there, I promise. I want you to watch this. James was not writing to a bunch of lost people. James was writing to saved people, brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's the terminology that James used. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now that's what we all quote, and we just all walk home and service is over. But he didn't finish the verse, did he? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye what? Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaven. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? I'm telling you that what James is writing about, if you allow me to tonight, he's giving a great picture of tabernacle worship, what those people were doing. It wasn't just a nonchalant thing to do. It was a very serious thing, and people had to have their hearts right, and they had to have things clean, and they had to approach God in that terminology. I'm a believer today that we don't talk enough about sanctification. I know that the Lord saved me, and that part that he saved is sinless, is pure, and it's holy. But Steve is still here. The fleshly side of Steve. How I wish he was gone. I try to kill him, Miss Debbie, every day, but he pops back alive. But I think that's what the scripture is talking about over and over again, that I can't be no more saved than I am right now. But my witness to the world could be a whole lot better if my sanctification was a whole lot better. If I would focus upon my relationship with the Lord and my walk in this life. And I think that's why the tabernacle, to me anyway, is always a good lesson to look back on. I think Jesus, I'm going to say it one more time, I think He fulfilled every part of it. I think He was the door. I think He was the veil. I think He was the altar. I think He was the laver. I think He was the candlestick. I think He was the table of showbread. He's the altar of incense. He was everything. By the way, in the book of John chapter 1, the Bible tells us that the Lord became flesh and what? Does anybody know what dwelt among us, the original language says? He tabernacled among us. The word tabernacle was not necessarily, we just know tabernacle as a tent. But the word tabernacle means to dwell among us. So when the children of Israel would set up camp, right in the center of the camp was the tabernacle. We know it's tent, but it was actually God dwelling among the people. And when Jesus came, in John chapter 1, He tells us He became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus Christ, in the book of John, fulfills every step of the tabernacle. But I want to walk it through with me tonight. And I want you to see that maybe a lot of Christians are not where they need to be, and they can change that. Chapter 25 of Exodus, verse 8. Children of Israel had came out of Egypt. I think the last day that they were there, the Passover of the Lamb, the death of the firstborn, the blood over the doorpost, Passover, I think that was significant to salvation. They would never ever go back there again. Amen. I think security of the believer has been in the Bible since the beginning of the Bible. And it teaches it over and over if you let it. Not try to have man's agenda, but just let God teach. When the children of Israel walked out of Egypt, they never went back. When they left there, they left there under the blood. Amen. They passed through under the blood. They went. And as the Lord began to teach them, they found themselves in the wilderness. And Moses up on the mountain, and God had a plan, and He gave the plan to him, and He said in verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may what? And that word is tabernacle among them. I want to dwell among, I want to be with them. How big a deal was that in this day and time that we're reading? It was huge because He was only speaking to like Moses. Come on, that's all He was talking to. He wasn't talking to everybody. But now God says, I want to be with everybody. I want to be in the midst of everybody. And I want to dwell with you. But there's going to be some ways that you got to go through this. You just can't come in. Now, it's really cool when you study this, that smoke or that cloud would rest up over that Holy of Holies. And that fire would rest over the Holy Holy at night time. And as long as that cloud and that fire was there, nobody could go in that room. But when that cloud moved, it was time to pack up and move. And anybody could go in there and help pack it up. The priest could go in, start folding up, and everybody had a job to do, and everybody carried it on. But as long as it was there, it was considered a holy place. I don't think that we need to make church that, because I don't think the Lord dwells here. But He's promised to meet us here. And if you and I are living like we should, when we come into this place where two or three are gathered, He's promised to be in our midst. And I think in a special way, a covenant way, I think it's really important that you and I take serious what He's talking about when we come together like this. I think what I'm missing today, I think, is maybe I'm just getting old. I told Rochelle this today. I think I'm just getting old, maybe. I miss church. Church. I love church. I used to squirm. I know my parents probably took me out more than anybody would know during church. But I'm thankful for that. And I tell you, I love going to church. I love to feel like I've been to church. But I have been to some services I didn't feel like I was in church. Now I'm going to tell you, it has nothing to do with the structure of a facility. Because I've met under palm trees in Belize, and I've had as good a service as I've had anywhere in my life. So I never have met it about a structure. But it's about God's people gathering together. And when we do that, there's something special. So let me walk you, and we're going to have to start it this way, because that's east. And there was a door that, there's only one door into the courtyard of this tabernacle. And that door was in the east end. Jesus said in John 10 that he was what? The door. No one could enter in. I think the door is Jesus. Amen? I think he is. But as you would come to that door, you would meet a priest there. Now before that priest could ever meet you at that door, over in this room right here, there was a laver, a big old water basin. Back here was an altar, a brazen altar that always was burning. It had four horns on it. And they would hang those animals by those horns and let that animal hang down. And they'd do the process of the sacrificing and cutting them up, hanging from those horns. But before the priest would ever meet you at that door, he stopped by the laver and he washed his hands. He had to get himself ceremonial cleaned before he would meet you at the door. When he met you at the door, you had to bring the sacrifice. You had to look it over really good. It had to be without spot. It had to be without blemish. It couldn't be a dove with a broken wing. We'll just give it down. I got a three-legged cow. I'm going to offer that one today. No, it had to be the best. Now, if you read it in the original, when they first started this, you had to raise your own. You couldn't go buy one from Patrick on Saturday night to bring on Sunday, or Friday night to bring on Saturday if you're going to the tabernacle. You had to raise your own. And when they brought it to the door there, and the priest would meet it, and he'd look it over real good, he'd show you where to kill it. You know, for years I thought, Brother Dove, the priest did the killing. But as I began to study and read this, I found out real quick that the person who brought the lamb or the dove is the one that had to do the killing. Everybody knows why, right? It was your sin. And so that sin was on that head, and that priest would show you where to stick it, and you would stick it. You would bring it on in. He would begin to do the sacrificing. He would catch the blood. He would skin the animal, put the meat on there. He'd make his way back over to the laver and wash his hands. Because where he was about to go next, you can't go in there dirty. This was called the outer court. Is everybody here? I think if we're going to talk about salvation, we're right here in this part. See, Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was slain. Go with me to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3. While ago, I was looking for Titus, I was going to mark it. I couldn't find it. I got nervous that Titus was removed from my Bible. I found it stuck between 2 Timothy and Hebrews and Philemon. That crazy guy got snuck in there. Titus chapter number 3 verse 5 says this, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." No way in the world am I going to say this labor is baptism. You and I are washed by the Word of the Lord and by the Holy Spirit of God. We are regenerated. I love the word born from above when we talk about being born again. When Sarah had this baby on Tuesday finally, when her water broke, the baby was coming. Right? You and I had a physical birth. It was water birth. Amen. What John chapter 3 says. But there's also a spiritual birth that took place. And I think that's what this laver is representing. It was the sacrifice on the altar that Jesus made, and the Holy Spirit regenerating us from above. I can promise you, even though Jesus is every part of this tabernacle, the Trinity is every part of it as well. They're all involved. But that priest had to come here and wash his hands. He's going to have feathers on him from killing that dove. He's going to have blood from that lamb. He's going to have blood from that ram. He's going to have blood on him. He's got to stand there. He's got to wash his hands, because where he's about to go into is the holy place. Now listen, the holy place was not the Holy of Holies. That's back there through them doors. Can I tell y'all this? I've been thinking about this since Sunday night. There's a lot of people, Brother Patrick, that's hanging around up here in the outer courtyard. They're saved. They've been born again, Bev. They've got Jesus. They know they have eternal life. But they've never moved on. That's where sanctification comes in. You got to step on into the next room. What's in this room? Well, over on this side is a table, and over on this side is a candlestick that's got 7 tubes in it, and inside there is oil moving through it. The only light that's lighting up this holy place right here is the light from that. And when I think about that today, I think about how the Holy Spirit is the only one that can illuminate us in the way in which we need to go. I can listen to a preacher, Brother Greg, and I hope he tells me the right thing. But the Holy Spirit will illuminate me in the way in which I need to walk. And when you walk into this part of this room, in this holy place, you find the Holy Spirit lighting up the room. And across the room, I've never paid attention to this, but across the room is a table. What's on that table? Anybody know what's on that table? Right across from it? Huh? Showbread. Anybody know how many loaves? 12. In 2 stacks, Susan. Now, draw a picture in your brain for a second. 2 stacks of divided in half would be how many in each stack? What? So if I'm looking at it, Brother Greg, I'm looking at 66. 66. How many books are there in the Bible? Listen, don't nobody run out and say, Brother Steve said this, even though it's on the internet. But I'm for Brother Steve right now, trying to figure this out. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will lighten up the Word of God, and I can understand more what I need to understand by the washing of the Word of God. Y'all with me? Now I know it's the bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. It says that in John. I know that. Don't meet me at the door and tell me that. I know that. But I'm telling y'all tonight, if you want to get closer to God, you want to draw nigh to God, you better let the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, illuminate you and point you in the right direction. Now let me tell you where you're ending up at. The next place you're going to end up at is at another table. Now, by the way, if you draw this from outer space looking down, you'd find out it's the shape of that cross. That's exactly what you see. Draw it out, you'll see it. It's the cross. And the next table is the altar of incense. Anybody know what goes on there? Prayer. Prayer. And when they would offer those prayers, they would put a little bit of that on the fire, take that coal, put it on the fire. And you know what it would do, Brother Paul? It would make the whole place smell better. According to Psalms 46, they were worshiping. You know what? Some people are still up here in the courtyard. I don't want to hang around up here. I love thinking about what Jesus did for me, but I don't want to dwell here. I want to get on through those doors over there, because over there is where Jesus, where the Lord is, and I want to worship and fellowship with Him. But if I'm going to get there, if I want that closer walk with Thee, I'm going to have to get into this room. Now, I hate to be on the internet because everything I say is recorded. But sometimes I think this could even picture the church right in here. Being part of that body. Holy Spirit, how He works in the church. How He came into the church on the day of Pentecost and filled them. And the greatest thing you and I have in this church is that book you're holding, the Word of God. And the greatest thing you and I could do tonight is get on our knees at this altar of incense and offer up prayers to the Lord and worship. You want inside that door? Everybody knows what's in there? Where were them priests trying to get to? They wanted in that room where He was. And I'm telling you all tonight, that's where I want to be. I've been there. It's an awesome place, Miss Carolyn, to feel God so close. It almost feels like you're getting a God hug. I want that every day of my life. But I'm telling you what I'm finding out. I can't just drift through life and just think I'm just always going to be there. Everybody talks about going to the Lord and come to Him with courage and come to Him boldly. Everything I'm reading tonight is telling me I need to get my life right. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, I don't want to hang out up here. But every once in a while, I got to go back and visit. Now, if I get through that door eventually, and I'm going there, everybody online, just wait. I'm coming back. Maybe not. I may not come back if I get in there any fire. If I get through there, and I get into that holy place, that holy of holies inside that other veil, it got ripped open on the day that Christ died. When I get through that veil and I get in there, I'm going to find a ark. This wood covered in gold. And on the back of it are two big cherubim wings covering that mercy seat. But what's down inside? Anybody know? What's in the box? Let me tell you the first thing that went in this box. The Ten Commandments. The tablets of stone. Now, I was thinking about this afternoon, just kind of milling this over my mind. Imagine that high priest that one time a year who finally got in there. Can you imagine what it's been like all year getting in there? He's now killed a ram on his behalf. Now he's killed one. And he's about to go in there. He's got blood. Going to sprinkle that blood. I wonder if some of that blood actually fell on those tables of stone. And if they did, it just kind of covered up all those words. See, Jesus, God, is a loving God. See, those stones, Miss Carolyn, meant I needed to be judged. But this blood was being applied on my behalf, and I wouldn't be judged, Malachi, because Jesus would take it for me. Woo! He's a loving God. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. It's an awesome thing to think about tonight. And something else that was down in there was Aaron's rod that budded. You know, when you read that, Brother Greg, it tells us that when he opens up the lid, that rod is budding. Now, I don't know about you all, but I've got a bunch of walking sticks that my granddad cut. Many, many times, Brother Paul, out in the woods, he'd cut a walking stick. And I've got a whole bunch of my grandkids use them to ride horses and everything else. I've yet to see one of those dead walking sticks bud. But you know what? Aaron's did. Even Even in the box, it budded. Which tells me this. He's a living God. He ain't dead. He's alive. Now here's the one that really gets me though. There was one more thing in the box. What was it? Manna. Now think about this one, Brother Greg. If I kept my manna one extra day, what happened to it? Worms and rotted. But all of a sudden, God has manna in this box that to this day, if it was around somewhere, it would still be fresh. What does that tell you about your God? He's everlasting. See, I need Him there. I don't want to dwell up here. I'm thankful for this. Martha, I'm thankful for this, but I won't dwell in there. I really don't even want to dwell in here long, because I want in there. But the only way I'm going to get in there is I have to come through there. But don't stop there. I'm telling you, you're not going to get more salvation than you already got. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get more joy. You're going to be a greater witness. Now I'll tell you one thing else. You might get happy. I'm sitting there thinking about this. I'm thinking about that priest and he's putting that on that altar of incense and that thing starts smoking. You know what my eyes do, Paul, every time I'm around smoke? They start watering. You know what the Bible said? They that sow in tears shall what? How long has it been since we cried over anything, Brother Greg? We'd be crying over our country right now. Not picking teams and picking sides and I ain't doing that and I ain't doing this. Listen, pray for your country. Pray for churches. My Belizean brothers, I was with them last night online and we were doing Bible study and Peter, they ain't had church in almost a month because the government won't allow them. So they're trying to meet in homes, they're trying to have an online service and I'm telling you, it's frustrating for them. We ought to be praying for them. There's missionaries right now on foreign fields, Martha, who can't do their work. Because the government's not allowing them out. They could lose their visas. And they're saying, what do we do, Brother Steve, if I lose my visa, I can't be here, period. I know we could sit here in our cushioned chairs and we say, well, they wouldn't stop me, I'd just go on and do it. But you ain't there. You've never been told you might lose your visa. But I'm going to tell y'all a secret right here tonight. If they tell us we ain't having church Sunday, I'm here. Because I got a visa for here. I'm a citizen here. I don't know if they can kick me out of here. But we got something everybody don't have in the world. Go with me to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter. I'll close with this. You think we need a trip through the tabernacle? I think we do. Go to 2 Peter. I'll close you with this. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 4. This is a verse we always love to read and quote and talk about. And I'll read it, but my thoughts are after it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. What kind of promises have we been given? I know great and precious is what he said. Give me some examples. What kind of promises? How about I'll never leave you or forsake you? Is that a promise? No one can pluck you from the Father's hand. Is that a promise? Any others? Now we just got two, Brother Steve. That's all I can think about. You and I have been given a bunch of promises. Maybe sometimes we need to just sit down and think about the promises. We seem standing on the promises while we're sitting on the premises. The word won't turn void. Boy, that's a good one, Patrick, because sometimes I'm as a flop, but as long as I open up this book, God's going to bless it. That's why I like to stick with the book. Now look what Peter said. Peter was close to being killed, and this is what he said. He said in verse 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." Not to your salvation. Remember the disciples one time, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." How many of you tonight need a little increaser? That's what he's talking about. But listen, it's just not a prayer, okay? It's not a prayer. It's something you're going to have to do. He said you're going to have to add these things. Virtue. Knowledge. Temperance. Woo! I wasn't sure about that. I think I knew, but then I had to look it up. I just went to Webster. Didn't want to do Wikipedia because that guy lies sometimes. I thought, Webster would tell me the truth. You know what he said? You know what he said that is, temperance? Restraint. Ugh. Anybody ever having trouble with restraint? Huh? Nobody. I thought I saw a halo over this building. These are holy people. And then if you got that restraint, this will be real easy then. Patience. You know what else was in there? Godliness. All that stuff I'm talking about. You know there's such thing as separation. That's why there was a curtain that left the outer courtyard before you went into the holy place. I'm not even talking about that one back there. I'm talking about this one right here. If you want to go on, you might have to say no to some friends. Your acquaintances may have to change. The things you watch may have to go away. If you want to get to that room, you may have to start separating a little bit. Now I know Brother Greg's looking at me like, "Brother Steve, now whoa. Doesn't sound legalistic." We all have lines. Some people's lines ain't where mine are. But I want my lines to be where the Lord's is. Sometimes people talk about somebody who preached about how they dress. And I say, "Well, you don't let your wife go to the store naked." "Well, no, I wouldn't do that." "Well, see, you're legalist too. You got a line. You won't let your wife go to the store naked." Everybody's got a line. But everybody's line is not God's line. I want to be on God's line because I need in here because I'm trying to get those there. Y'all with me? I know you look like you're not, but you are. He wasn't done. He said, "Add to this godliness, brotherly kindness." Now I like how he clarified it, brotherly kindness. That's Patrick and Daniel back there. That's Jack and Paul. That's Ted and Greg. That's brotherly kindness. Boy, I can get along with my brothers in Christ now, everything. But watch this. After brotherly kindness, he wants you to do what? Add what? Charity. Can I tell y'all something? That's just not talking to your brothers and sisters in Christ now. That's talking about your neighbor. Somebody in the Bible said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Don't remember who exactly that was. Somebody said that. How many of you want in there? You got to come through here. It starts over there. But too many people are stuck right there. There's been people who have been saved for years, but they've never got in here. And Miss Phillips, right in here is where it's all good and fun. This is where the fellowship and y'all have ever been reading the Bible and it's like, "I didn't see that before. That's good." And maybe accidentally I said something you had never thought about, like, "Hey, That kind of stuff comes from that unction we talked about Sunday night. Unction to function. Right? We need that. But you get that in here. So you can go through there. Let's stand and pray tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask you just a personal question, and we'll pray. Everyone can just bow their heads. We'll pray. But can I ask this one tonight? How many of you feel like in your Christian walk you're just kind of stuck and you're not going forward? That's why this is important tonight. You're the one that can make them steps. The Lord's going to guide you through. But this is going to be on you tonight. Father, Lord, I pray. I pray for this invitation tonight. I pray, Lord, Your will be done. Lord, I pray that You will lead us like You haven't before. Lord, we want to be in Your presence. And Lord, I know that that's available through Jesus Christ. But Lord, I've been challenged tonight in Your Word and this week that I need to clean myself, have my heart right. I know that happens through the Word of God. So Lord, help me tonight to be where you're at. Lord, thank You for being a God that loves us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.